Thank you, Adam. Sometimes you hear voices and you just wonder, it's like, where are they coming from? And it was Adam coming up behind me, reminding me I'd forgotten about the scripture reading. So appreciate that. I told Shannon, let me see if I can get this. What I need to hit a button here to go to power. How do I get to PowerPoint? I see a slide, but I don't know how to get there. Corbin, can you help me? Somebody. Oh, there we go. Is that it? Okay, we're good to go. I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's not on. Okay. There you go. Thank you. Here we go. Oh, yes. Here we go. Okay. Now we're ready. First it's voices, then it's technology. I told Shannon after his class, I had no intention of teaching exactly what he taught in class. We're talking about Abraham again. We covered that in class some. Hopefully not exactly the same thing, but there's a lot to be said about Abraham, and that's what we want to look at. We'll look at some things about him this morning, especially his faith. Hebrews 1, verse 1, 11, verse 1. The New International renders that verse, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." You know, sometimes we think about faith and we think, well, you know, faith's just, it's kind of a guess. I don't really know. I don't really have enough evidence. It's just kind of a feeling I have. That's not what the Bible says. Hebrews says faith involves being sure. Faith involves being certain. So I want to spend some time this morning examining our faith, examining my faith, and how it compares to an incredibly faithful man, Abraham. When we think about Abraham, I'm mainly going to look at the text in Hebrews 11 that Adam read for us. We'll have other references, obviously, but that's going to be our main text. Spend a little bit of time in Genesis, but not very much this morning. First, we think about Abraham's faith. We realize that Abraham's faith caused him to go even when he didn't know where he was going. And when I think about my faith, does my faith require that I know every step, all the places, every situation, all the possible outcomes of my journey here on earth? Am I hindered in my obedience to God because, frankly, I worry about the unknown? Well, then, you know, by faith, we do know our final destination. If we're faithful to God, we know that we'll spend eternity with Him in heaven. But we don't know everything that will happen here on earth to lead us there. Sometimes that's good, that I don't know the future that's coming down the road. But, you know, a lot of times we get to question things. You know, what's going to happen? Where am I going to be in 5 years? What's going to happen to me? Who am I going to marry? How are my children going to turn out? What about grandchildren? Oh, they're wonderful, I'll tell you that. But we read Hebrews 11, verse 8 this morning. In class, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he left not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. And we looked at the passage there in Genesis 12. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Now, it's kind of hard for us to relate to that now. Abraham went out to a place. He didn't know where he was going. He knew he would receive this unknown place as an inheritance. He knew that God would bless him and all the families of the earth. And he trusted God to guide him on that journey. But think about the faith that that took on the part of Abraham. Have you ever picked up and moved or even went to a place, a new place you never visited or seen? Well, that's probably true. You've probably been places you've never been to before, obviously. But when you think about that, Shannon mentioned this morning, Pensacola, Vicksburg, Columbus, places that are like 400 miles away, the approximate distance that Abraham traveled. Well, you know, if I want to know something about any of those places or anywhere else, there's this thing called the internet that has any number of pictures. It's got maps. I can read people's accounts. You know, I really enjoyed staying at this place, or I really like this particular tourist attraction. It would be very difficult for us to go anywhere in the world and not know anything about it. I can't find anything about this particular place. Well, that's really not true. We can find out all kinds of things about anywhere we want to go. Now, true, we may not have been there before, but we're not just going there and saying, you know, you go to this place, you don't know anything about it. Truthfully, you don't even know where it is. You don't know who lives there. You don't know what it looks like. That's just not something we can really identify with now. You know, no Google Maps, there's no internet, there's no GPS. Now, I'll tell you, for a long time, I was very resistant to GPS. There was this thing called a paper map, and I really liked paper maps. I had paper maps, and I'd plot out trips and turn here, go here. Well, you know, the big thing about paper maps is they don't get really down to the street level. If I go out into a neighborhood, it's rare you could find a map that had my home address on that map. So to get places like that, you know, you really had to make some plans. You had to call ahead and get directions and things like that. Edna was not terribly thrilled that I was not a GPS person. We got lost in North Carolina looking for waterfalls. We got lost in New Hampshire after dark looking for our hotel. Perhaps you've had that experience, or perhaps you were smarter than I was and you actually got better directions. But you know, when we are lost, when we are looking for a place and it's like, I don't really know how to get there. I don't really know where this is. You know, at the very least, it's disconcerting that we're out there driving around and we don't really know where we're going. But you know, it can be rather frightening to have no idea, absolutely no idea what's around the next curve in the road or how to get to our destination. Will it be the correct turn, or will it be just another wrong direction? Now put yourself in Abraham's shoes. That's really the situation he's in. God told him to go. He went, but he didn't know what it looked like, where he was going exactly. He just knew that's what he was supposed to obey God, and God led him there. Would we have obeyed God and left our homeland in the same circumstances? Well, one thing that can help us there, we know God is faithful, and God will do exactly what he has said he will do. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Our faith can find and needs to find strength and courage in the fact that God is faithful. We don't have to wonder, I don't really know what God's going to do. I don't really know how God's going to react. I don't really know what God wants me to do. God's told us what we need to do. God's told us how we need to live. And God is faithful. We've been studying the book of Psalms on Wednesday night, Psalm 33, verses 8 and 9. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. It came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. We don't have to doubt God. We don't have to doubt what God's going to do. We don't have to doubt what God says. God says it, it happens. God spoke it, it's done. God commanded it, it stood firm. What else about Abraham's faith? Well, his faith did not rely on permanent housing. Does my faith require a nice home here on earth? Will physical hardship in this life or financial difficulty destroy my faith in God? Hebrews 11, verses 9 and 10. By faith he lived as a stranger in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city which has foundations, whose architect, designer, and builder is God. Now, it seems that Abraham did not think of Canaan as his home. He didn't have any more privileges than any other stranger in the land. Acts chapter 7 and verse 5 tells us, but he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot of ground. And yet he promised that he would give it to him as a possession and to his descendants after him, even though he had no child. Genesis 15 gives us the details of God's land promised to Abraham and his descendants. And as far as I know, neither Abraham nor Isaac nor Jacob ever built a permanent residence in the country. They lived in tents. They were confident, according to the promise, that they would be heirs of a much better inheritance. Abraham was satisfied to live this way because he was looking for the city built by God. He knew that city was not in the promised land. He knew it wasn't on earth. He didn't even see the promise fulfilled in his lifetime, but he remained faithful to God and obeyed him. Unfortunately, I think most Americans, I'll speak to Americans since we're in America, we're far too concerned with the here and now. What can I buy to make my life better? I need more stuff. How often do we complain about not having certain earthly possessions? Materialism is a huge problem, and I doubt we really see how bad it actually is. Now, that's a whole other sermon, and we won't go into that today, but can I truly say that I am looking for that city with foundations? Hebrews 13, 14, for here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. A third about Abraham's faith, it allowed him to believe against all hope in God's promises. Does my faith believe the seemingly impossible? Do I believe that can happen? Do I believe things will happen in God's way and in God's time? Now, we read of both Sarah's and Abraham's faith when it came to the promise of Isaac's birth. First, we read about Sarah's faith in Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, even from one man, and one who was as good as dead at that, there were born descendants who were just as the stars of heaven in number and as the innumerable grains of sand along the seashore. And then we read about Abraham's faith in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. In hope against hope, other translations use terms like against all hope and contrary to hope. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Sarah and Abraham were able to have a child long after their childbearing years because of their faith. Although they were well past that age, the age of having children, they trusted God to allow them to have a child. In hope against hope, against all hope, contrary to hope, in what seemed to be an impossible situation, Abraham believed. There didn't seem to be any possible way that he could have a child with Sarah. In fact, we know Abraham tried to help God out by having a child by his handmaid. But we see that he was fully assured or convinced or persuaded that God was able to perform what he had promised. Also, Abraham's faith did not require God to fulfill his promises immediately or even in Abraham's lifetime. Does my faith require a reward in this life? Am I living as a stranger, an alien, a foreigner, a nomad on this earth, desiring a better country? Or am I content with this world as my home? Looking forward to a city with foundations, seeking a homeland, desiring a better heavenly country will mean dying before we see it unless Christ returns first. Hebrews 11, verses 13 and 14, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed or acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles, foreigners and nomads on the earth, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. They're seeking a homeland. All these faithful people, like Abraham, died before they received the promises. Well, what promises? Chapters 12 through 22 in Genesis give us several promises that were made to Abraham. He would have numerous descendants. God would be a God to him and to his offspring after him. God would give Abraham and his seed an everlasting inheritance. Through Abraham and his descendants, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And there were also the spiritual blessings and promises which God promised Abraham, dealing with the coming of Christ and the blessings of his kingdom. Jesus said in John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now, I'm not sure of all the exact specific promises that are being referred to here, but we know that there were several, both physical and spiritual, that Abraham did not live to see fulfilled. His faith had a clear and strong eye to see the promises from a distance. The lives and the lips of these believers confessed that they were just passing through this life. They were seeking a homeland, a better heavenly country. And it was obvious by how they lived and what they said that they were not looking to return to some earthly country. Does how I live and what I say make it obvious to others what country I'm seeking? If someone prepared a diagram of how I spend the time that God has given me on this earth and how I spend the money God blesses me with, would it lead them to the conclusion that I was a foreigner or a nomad in this world? What if you could list every word you've ever spoken? Would those words tell others that you were seeking a better heavenly home? Well, so how do we obtain this faith? How do you and I obtain and grow a faith like Abraham? We might say, I don't know that I can get there. I don't know if I can have a faith like Abraham's. Well, it's not, I guess, complex necessarily. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and verse 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. How can we believe in God if we don't know his word? How can I say that I'm a follower of Christ when I don't set aside time to study and learn and read what he said and commanded? Hearing God's word, reading God's word, knowing God's word is an excellent way to build our faith. My mom was visiting one of her best friends. This has been years ago. And the woman's husband was a gospel preacher. And he had a rather extensive library of religious books and so forth. And my mom asked him, "Have you read all those books?" To which he replied, "Well, no." And in her, if you knew my mom, she was straight to the point. In her joking yet straight to the point response, she said, "Well, it shows." You know, we have the complete revealed Word of God at our fingertips, more so today than at any other time in history. The Bible's in printed form, but you know, it's available on our phones, on podcasts, on recordings, and on and on and on. We can read or listen to the Bible just about anytime, anywhere. And if you were talking to others about, "Well, you know, my life is just so busy and I've got so much going on and I just don't have time to read or listen to God's word," would their response be, "Well, it shows"? But you know, the Bible is such a large book. It's just, how long? Look how long. It's going to take me forever to get through, to understand, to read, to know God's word. Well, it takes time. There's no way around that. It takes time. There's, if I counted correctly or trusted the sources I found, there's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. I think, wow, over 1,100, almost 1,200 chapters in the Bible. And if I'm going to read it through in just one time in a year, I'm going to take the whole year, I'm going to read the Bible through once. If that's my objective, I've got to read a little over 3.25 chapters a day. Well, did you know that most chapters in the Bible can be listened to in under 4 minutes? A lot of them in under 3, some in under 2. So a time investment of less than 15 minutes a day will allow you to hear the entire Bible in a year. Less than 15 minutes a day. And you know, get this. You can listen to the Bible on your phone at 1.5 times the speed, which means, of course, they're speaking a little faster. Not fast enough to sound like the chipmunks, but it takes even less time then. Will you and I make the investment of daily Bible study to grow our faith? Well, what are the benefits? What are the benefits of stronger faith? Now, there's a slew of these. We could spend probably the next month talking about all the benefits of faith. I just want to look at three quickly this morning. Hebrews 11, verse 16, where we spent some time today, tells us, "But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." All these people of faith desired to live in heaven. The result of that faith, the result of that desire, was that God was not ashamed to be called their God. If we're desiring that heavenly country, that city with foundations, God will not be ashamed to be called our God. Doesn't that motivate you? It motivates me. Shouldn't that make us want to do all we can to seek and to live in that city. Whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice, we can live in such a way that God will not be ashamed of us. He will be glad to be called our God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." A stronger faith will help us to stop relying on ourselves and to begin putting our faith and our trust and our reliance upon the God who has delivered, who will deliver, and who will continue to deliver us. Isn't that who we want to rely on? Why would I rely on myself? A frail, faulty, sinful individual, when I can rely on God, the one who has delivered, will deliver, and will continue to deliver me. There's nothing, there's nobody in this world that has that kind of power. And finally, 1 John 5, verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith in God, our faith in Christ, is the victory that overcomes the world. God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our labor will not be in vain. We may not know, in fact, we don't know. There's really no may about it. We don't know what awaits us, if I can say it, at every turn in our life. We don't know. We don't know what this afternoon holds, much less next week or 3 years from now. We don't know. But God, we do know, God is faithful. And God will do exactly what he has promised. We may have physical hardships. We may have financial difficulties here on earth. But we need to keep our focus on the better country, the city with foundation that awaits God's children. There's going to be times in life when we just do not see the way out, when we cannot imagine, how is God going to fix this? How is God going to bring about his will? How is God going to be triumphant? There's going to be times we really question, or we can't come up with the idea. We don't know. But when we are hoping against hope, we can be fully assured that God can and that God will bring his promises to pass. Our earthly journey may have few physical rewards, but we need to remember we're strangers. We're nomads. We're foreigners in this world. Our desire must be for the city that God designed and built. God will not be ashamed of us if that is our focus. If you've not surrendered your life to Christ, that opportunity is afforded to you today. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you willing to confess that belief and to repent of your sins? And once you've done that, then you can be buried with Christ in baptism. If there's anything we can do this morning to help you in your faith, in your walk with God, we hope you'll come while we stand and sing.